And also, a big thanks goes out to Pastor Mix and Mrs. Mix for being awesome enough to open up the pulpit to give me another chance. Please bear with me a little bit. I've been under the weather for the past few days, so just kind of bear with me if my voice starts to get a little raspy on you. And one final thank you is to my wife. She's been my my caregiver for the last 2 days, and I'm not ashamed to admit I'm a little bit of a big baby at times, so hopefully I didn't make it too hard on her. So with all that being said, I'd like to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you to the throne of grace yet again to offer thanks for the blessings that you have given us. We ask that you continue to work on us to mold us into the servants that you shall have us be, so we can plant seeds for the kingdom. Dear Lord, we pray for the strength to endure and persevere through all the difficult moments of our lives. And as our trials come and go, may we never forget to praise your holy name in the good times and in the bad. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as I was preparing this message for tonight, I initially had no idea what I wanted to talk about. And after a few days of research and a few days of prayer, there was a particular message that was just kind of screaming out at me, just thumping out at me, and that's the transforming power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So tonight, with a little bit of a Bible preaching, I'd like to share with my testimony with you all tonight.
Amen.
So before I share my testimony, I just want to say that, you know, it doesn't matter where we're at in our lives. Jesus Christ can work his miracles both for us and through us, regardless of our circumstances. So it doesn't matter if we're the king and queen of our mountain or if we're down and out struggling in the valley. Like, our blessings will come to us no matter what our circumstances are. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That's a saying that, honestly, I'm not sure where it originated. I saw it on Facebook and I kind of liked it. But, you know, I can't help but get excited because he qualifies me each and every day.
Yes.
Every single day I wake up, he's qualifying me. And he can do the same thing for you. He has done the same thing for you. He will qualify you. So Romans 12:2 is a very popular scripture. And for those who don't know, in the Bible it states, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, you know, Pastor Mix has a near perfect recall of the moment that he accepted Christ into his life. It was October 9th, 1990, on the gold shag rug in his apartment. I've been taking notes. So my recall of my accepting Jesus into my life isn't quite as perfectly recalled as that, but it was still significant for me nonetheless. So for me, it was March of 2005, and I had just turned 19 years old, and I was midway through my stint at basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky. It was a Friday afternoon, and the drills came to us and told us to get our cleanest uniforms and to get to work shining our boots. They were getting ready to take us somewhere that next night. And, you know, after 45 days of basic training, all-male basic training at Fort Knox, somewhere along the way, some knucklehead started a rumor that females were going to be there. So you can imagine us shining our boots like crazy. We don't know where we're going, but we're just shining up because we want to look nice. We want to look nice. We have no idea where we're going, but we want to look good. So once we got there, there was a food layout. It was sandwiches, chips, cookies, sweet tea, lemonade. They had the works. So the host of the event, like, they were nice and gracious, and they fed us 19 and 20-something year old kids like we were their own children. And I remember that always just stuck out with me. That meant so much to me at the time. They even played a movie for us called Flight of the Phoenix. I can't remember much about that movie, but it was terrible. It was pretty bad. But still the same, I was enjoying myself. I was enjoying the food. I was enjoying not being in a training environment. So shortly afterwards, we transitioned to the next room. And It was a sanctuary with pews and Bibles and hymnals and the whole nine. Like, we were there for 2.5 hours eating these people's food and laughing and joking and having a good time, and none of us realized that we were in a church. So imagine our surprise as we go from eating, you know, getting fat and full and happy, to going over to a church. What's going on? That's weird. So we settled into our seats, and you know, I'm ashamed to admit, like, I can't remember what the preacher preached about that night. I do remember the invitation, though, and similar to how Pastor Mix does, he asked us if there was anyone seated there who hadn't accepted Christ into their life yet. And it was at that particular moment that the check engine light for my soul was flashing. Something was wrong. So I wasn't raised in the church, and we didn't have a church home, but we tried our best to make it to a church each Sunday that we could. One thing that was, even though my church upbringing wasn't as constant as what maybe it should have been, one thing that was constant was my mother's devout beliefs. And through her testimony and through her stories, I became a believer as well. But I was confused as a child as to what it meant to be saved. So as I was sitting there during the invitation that night, my mind was just going a million miles a minute. You know, I was 19 years old, away from home for the very first time, scared, nervous, all of that. On top of that, I had just signed a brand new contract with Uncle Sam. So I didn't belong to me anymore. I was property of the United States government. So sitting there, you know, the war on terror was still in its early phases. And as far as I knew, I could have found myself deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan within a few months of me sitting there in that church. And I began to think about my own mortality. I began to think about my own testimony, like 19 years old. Like, I had only just started to live life. And, you know, what would happen if I was to go to a war zone? Like, I had no idea what my future was going to hold. I knew I believed in Christ, but I knew something was missing. As a kid, I always thought that in order to be saved, like, there had to be a ceremony, like a graduation ceremony. So imagine, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, cap, gown, somebody announces my name, Tredell Suber. And I walk across the stage, shake the guy's hand, and get my certificate of savedness, you know, so to speak. And, you know, I march off. I'm like, yeah, right on, I'm saved. So, you know, I really didn't know what it took to be saved. I didn't know what the process was. So, again, during that invitation, the preacher was calling us up, and I decided to take that moment to go up. And once I got up there, he asked me what my name was, and, you know, I was kind of nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I got up, and I told him, you know, Tredell Suber. And, you know, he put his hand on my shoulder, and he started to pray over me. And I started to cry, you know, like, just boo-hoo, like, uncontrollably crying. Like, I couldn't help it. Like, it was just so big for me, like, just so epic that I was getting saved, like, right there, you know? Like, I wish my mother was there. Like, that was a pretty awesome experience. But, you know, it was so epic for me that, you know, I was up there crying, boo-hooing, and there weren't tears of sadness. There were tears of flat-out joy for me. Like, I couldn't hide that enthusiasm. I didn't know any other way to express it other than through tears. Right there was the proudest moment of my life up until that point. And once the preacher was done praying for me, you know, I looked up and looked around, and a few of my battle buddies were up there with me, and they had accepted Christ into their lives as well. And some of them had shed their own tears, so thankfully I wasn't the only knucklehead up there crying. But, you know, we hugged each other, and we patted each other on the back, and we stood there at the front of that church as brothers in arms and brothers in Christ. And, like, I've never shared this moment publicly before, so it just had such a profound influence on my life and effect on my life. It's a blessing. But, you know, again, as profound as that moment was on my life, I wish that I could tell you that I lived Christ-like from that point on. I wish I could tell you that, you know, when those tough, real, engaging scenarios in it themselves, that, you know, I asked, what would Jesus do? And I made the right decision from that point on, because I didn't. Like I said, I had just turned 19, so I had plenty of moments of knuckleheadery. I just made that word up. Knuckleheadery ahead of me. But thankfully, God wasn't done with me yet. Amen. He was only beginning. So despite being saved, you know, again, I allowed myself to get caught up with alcohol and with the wrong people. At that time, I was all about trying to become more worldly and experience the worldly things and stand on my own two feet as a man than to be a child, because I was coming straight out of the house. I was coming straight from under with my mom. So I felt like that was my way of establishing my dominance. I'm drinking beer and hanging out and doing stuff because I felt like that's what a man should have been doing. It didn't take long for me to get tired of those activities, though. The Holy Spirit took me in a new direction completely because I met my wife soon thereafter. We met when we were 19. So, and over the course of our 10 years of marriage, Ashley and I have been through just about everything that a couple can be through. We've been on the doorstep of going our separate ways a time or two, and I'm thankful that that didn't happen for us. You know, there was a period of time where I was taking advice from family and friends, and, you know, I love them to death, and they really only wanted to see me happy. They wanted to see her happy. But I think, you know, again, I was just too caught up in listening to the advice of people instead of going to the Bible. This is the only advice I ever need. This is the only advice that we will ever need. We just have to accept it and turn to it in our moments of need. So again, as much as I love my friends, as much as I love my family, what made them the subject matter experts on my relationship with my wife and what I was going through? I used alternative resources instead of using the source. And I feel like so often today that we get caught up in using alternative resources instead of just going, again, straight to the source. We have the source right here, the Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the source. We just have to remember to go there in need. So, again, the book of Ephesians could have blessed us so much. Like, the book of Ephesians alone could have blessed us so much during our marriage. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And my personal favorite one is Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Like, you know, again, I wish I would have been, you know, I was saved at 19, and in the early phases of my marriage, I was just too hard-headed, too stubborn, too whatever to turn to the Holy Spirit. Like, God was leading me. He was, hey, I'm here. Hey, and I was just too stubborn to answer the door. Hindsight is always 20/20, and looking back now is just so many instances that I wish I would have handled differently. And, you know, my mom always said, you know, it's too late for shoulda, woulda, couldas. I should have done this. I could have done that. Or I would have done this. Like, it's too late for all of that. So, you know, hindsight is nice, but, you know, it's best to not get too caught up in that. Just, you made your choices. You made that bed. You got to lay in it, maybe remake it, get your new bed or whatever the case is. But you have to move forward. You can't just stay stuck on those past choices. You have to learn from your mistakes and move on from them. So I understand now that everything that I've been through in my life has been preparing me for this very moment. God makes no mistakes, and he indeed has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows exactly what he's doing. It's no accident that I was called to my purpose while sitting right here in this church. 2 years ago, it was revival time, and Ashley and I, like, we've never been members of a church before, so it was new. We didn't really know what to expect. And Pastor Mark Bishop was up here, and he was slinging snot and breathing fire, and he was preaching a message about fire. And, you know, bad pun, but my soul started burning. You know, I felt something deep, and you know, it was just stirring. And you know, again, just like the night I accepted Christ back into my life in 2005, like, my mind started going a million miles a minute, and I started thinking about the things that I had and hadn't accomplished in my life. And at that point, I was 28 years old, had, you know, married to my wife, had some, I like to think of it as a distinguished service in the Army. I don't know about other people, but I like to think I've done a pretty good job. But, you know, I was thinking about what I had and hadn't accomplished in my life. And for my entire adult life, the only thing that I've ever known, the only job that I've ever known, is working for Uncle Sam in the U.S. Army. So I can't do that forever, you know. And I sat there thinking and just kind of praying to myself, like, you know, what kind of job is there that, you know, I can go out and I can really make a difference? You know, how can I enrich the lives of not just my own family, but enrich the lives of anyone that I come into contact with? How can I make my community and neighborhood better? And, you know, I used to want to be a firefighter. I used to want to be an astronaut, a police officer. If you would have talked to me when I was 15, 16 years old, I would just knew I was going to be a professional wrestler. At one point in my early 20s, believe it or not, I used to rap. So, you know, I've been kind of all over the place with things that I've always wanted to do. But deep down, like, I know I have a sense of wanting to serve. I have a sense of wanting to make things better. And for me, there's no better possible way that I can make things better in my life and in the lives of others and try to help people through those same dark times that I've gone through than to do it by being in the ministry. Amen. You know, as a leader of the church, within the church, I can reach out and, in the name of the Lord, win people for the kingdom of heaven. If you're lost and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I would like to be the one to help you discover Jesus Christ. Like, please give me that chance. If you're a married couple and you're going through trials and tribulations and those rocky times, like, they're going to happen. Like, no marriage is just free of those moments. You know, I would love for me and my wife to be able to sit down and counsel to you and talk to you and have some kind of just conversation with you based off of the Bible, not based off of any worldly experiences or what we saw on TV or what we read in a magazine or saw in an internet article. Like, I would love that opportunity. So since that night in October 2014, the transforming power of Jesus Christ has just been a constant in my life. Amen. When I first joined the church, I was like, yeah, I'm in the church, but I don't know if I could give up cussing, swearing, those four-letter words that we can't say on TV. You know, and I realized over time that that was selfish. Yeah. You know, put an S in front of hit. You know, that was my grandfather's favorite word, as my mom used to say. And, you know, selfishly, like, really? Am I holding on to foul language? Why? Yeah. Why? Because you pepper in too many of those sentence enhancers in your everyday speak, and you sound pretty foolish. You sound idiotic. So no more beer, no more alcohol. It was the night after I preached my first sermon on December 31st, 2014, that, you know, I made the conscious effort. You know, it's New Year's Eve. That's one of the biggest drinking nights in America. You know, everybody's going out, hanging out, staying up to midnight, singing, and having a good time. And I had just preached that message, and, you know, I was you know, walking on cloud nine. My head was in the clouds. I was super excited, and I remember I had a beer in my hand that night, and I didn't want it. I didn't want it. I opened it, and my wife, we had just stopped over to the 7-Eleven because it's not it's not too many 24-hour places around here. So I stopped by 7-Eleven before we got home, and, you know, we got a full case of beer, and I had full intentions on going through that beer. Now, I may have took a sip or two that night, but just sitting there looking at it, like, I didn't have the same zest, I didn't have the same zeal for it that I had when I was a younger man. And that was the transforming power of God working on me still. Like, the change didn't happen as quickly as maybe I wanted it to, but it happened. Amen. You know, God wasn't done with me yet. I had my knucklehead moments. I did this, I did that, but God wasn't done with me yet. Amen. So, no more giving way to worldly influences. Like, I made it a point to not pay so much attention and not give so much credence to, you know, things that I hear on TV, things that I saw on TV or articles that I read on the internet or even some of my coworkers at work. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but people in the Army feel like they're subject matter experts on everything. And you can't tell them otherwise. So whenever they get wind of you going through something, they feel like, hey, yeah, brother, I got the answer for that. And they come over and they talk your ear off for 20, 30, 35 minutes. And it's just not worth it. And again, I'm not too ashamed to admit that I've actually taken some of that advice and it's landed me in hot water quite a few times. So again, if we allow it to and accept it to the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of Jesus Christ is the most incredible power that I can think of. It's the most, there's nothing greater, there's nothing better, and it doesn't matter, again, where we're at. It doesn't matter if we're at the top of our game or if we're just down and out, struggling, depressed, or whatever rut we find ourselves in. Like, there's nothing in this world that is too big for Christ to deliver us from. Amen. So, our walk with God may not always go as perfectly as we want it to. At our worst moments, we should always just, I know it's rough, but just try to remember, reject that condemnation of Satan, you know, because it's just, it's his plan to get in between us and God and create as much separation as he can. And then he's going to go on to the next victim and the next victim and the next victim until he continuously moves us further and further away from the kingdom of heaven. It's not that Satan's condemnation that we need to turn towards, but that the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is going to always lift us back up again when we fall down. So I'm close to the end of my message. A few things. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life yet, it's not too late. It's never too late. And I hope that by sharing my testimony with you all tonight, for me, it definitely was a blessing. Every time I get a chance, every time I get an opportunity to come up here, it's such a blessing for me. I can't even really explain it. But just as the transforming power of Jesus Christ took me from a knucklehead kid from Georgia out there hanging out and doing Lord knows what, I'm up here preaching my message in front of you, and I'm striving towards, you know, being a leader within the church. I'm striving towards potentially having, not potentially, like towards having my own church, whether it's here or whatever the case is. If you need a change in your life and if you desire a complete and total transformation, give God a chance. He's not going to fail you. You know, men and man will fail you time and time and time and time again. But God will never fail you. He will not. So on that note, I'd like to leave you with one last verse, and it's from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So thank you for allowing me this chance to come up here and preach a message. And if you just give me a quick chance, I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to put a message together and for allowing me the opportunity to share it. Dear Lord, please just allow my words to be able to plant a seed into maybe someone's heart and mind. And if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ into their life, Lord, I hope and pray that maybe just in some small way that my message tonight was able to lead them there, Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.